GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show Legal Briefs on the radio program now. Our friend from Lanham, Blackwell, and Baber, our partner in Legal Briefs, Brett Baber, welcome back behind the bulletproof glass and spacious studio 7A, sir. Is the season for contractors to maybe knock at your door, similar to the way the Fuller Brush salesman might have done way, way back in the day, and say, hey, you know what? I could take care of that roof for you.
Leaky
or the
roof.
Siding or that driveway.
Driveways.
Man, looks like beautiful big downtown Beirut there, and we could probably fix that for you, and you could shake a hand, and you could count on the work getting done. What happened to those days?
Well, you said the magic word, shake the hand.
Ah.
There's a case that came out of the law court earlier this year that just really demonstrates why the good old-fashioned handshake isn't what it used to be and why we have a law in the state of Maine called the Maine Home Construction Contracts Act that basically requires any home improvement contract over $3,000, I think that's the number, to be in writing. So there's this home builder, and I'm going to leave the names out, but this builder of traditional timber framed homes down on Mount Desert Island that was hired by a fellow to build him a traditional timber framed home. And they looked at some starter, they looked at some model homes or some other homes he'd done in the range of $500,000 to $600,000. Maybe you could get a shell, a 32 by 32 shell for about $400,000. And for some reason, the homeowner thought he could get it all done for $275,000. And this home builder, he never believed in written contracts. Handshake was good enough for him. But they did agree to, just go on what we call a T&M basis, time and materials, where the builder keeps track of the hours and charges for the materials with their markup, and off they go. And the shell goes up, and the homeowner thought apparently they try to pull a fast one and let the builder just keep on going. I don't know why the builder says, well, there's your shell, we're done and we're out of here. The homeowner lets him keep on going with the idea that, well, we'll pay him along the way, but when he finishes, we're going to sue him and try to get his money, our money back. Not a good idea. This is actually a case where I think both of the parties lose in the end. So George and Rick, any guesses as to the final cost of this home?
Well, you already put it into high rent district, so
yeah.
So I'm guessing $400,000 to $500,000.
Well, it ended up the homeowner agreed, ended up paying bills of over $600,000, and the builder wanted another 45 or 50 in unbilled time, so we're up to $650,000. So the builder brought and I'm not sure we've ever really talked about this on the show, a mechanics lien action, which it's sort of like a mortgage where they slap this lien in the registry of deeds against your property, and if you go to court and get the builder wins on the mechanics lien, they can actually have a sheriff's auction and sell off your house. So mechanics liens are sort of scary things. Most of us, we have our homes and we do these construction projects, and if you don't pay the bill, you could face a mechanics lien. So the homeowner said, well, we never had a written contract. We only agreed to pay $275,000. So they countersued for fraud and breach of contract and all sorts of other theories. And one of their theories was under this Maine Home Construction Contract Act, which requires a written contract. And the trial court judge, Justice Robert Murray, wrote an extensive opinion, and the law court basically said he got it right. And it came down to a legal theory. I don't try to use Latin phrases on the show very often, but this is sort of a cool Latin phrase. It's called quantum meruit, M-E-R-U-I-T, but it's basically a kind of implied contract where, if you guys go to the grocery store and you put your stuff on the conveyor belt or whatever, you're sort of creating a contract there without, you're not signing any formal documents. I promise to pay whatever the fair and reasonable charges are for these goods. You're just, sort of through your actions, you're creating a contract. If you walk out of the store, you're going to be popped for shoplifting, but you're agreeing to pay the price of the goods. And that's sort of the idea with this quantum merit or implied contract. Just the fact that you stood there and watched this builder, you know, put in the sheetrock and put in the plumbing and put in the fixtures and the brings in the appliances and finishes it all nice and neat. And then you turn around and say, well, we didn't have a contract. The law is going to say, no. You stood by and watched this all happen. And by sitting there and watching it happen, you are implicitly agreeing to pay. Now, in this instance, it's not necessarily what the builder wanted for the price of the home. It's what's a reasonable price. So the builder didn't get his $650. I mentioned both sides lost on this deal. The builder didn't get his $650, and the homeowner didn't get the refund from the $600,000 they'd paid down to the $275,000, which, you know, I don't know how they could really hope for that with a straight face, but apparently that was their argument in court. No written contract. You don't get any money. Justice Murray disagreed with that, said the builder got to keep the $600,000. He doesn't get his extra $50,000, but because there was this violation of the Home Construction Contract Act, the builder had to pay the homeowner's attorney's fees. Because of this whole dispute, you know, you can imagine this takes years for this thing to wind its way through the courts, takes up a couple days of judge time. It took a law court appeal, and they had $30,000 in attorney's fees, which for the size of this case doesn't sound too bad. So the Justice Murray awarded the attorney's fees to the homeowner. So what's this Home Construction Contract Act all about? It's, you know, precisely what you're talking about, Rick. It's instead of the handshake now. We have this requirement under the statute, and the penalty is you'll end up paying the homeowner's attorney's fees. So all of you contractors that are listening on your way to the job this morning, I hope you have the form in your truck. And it's not just the proposal form that we used to see all the time. It's an actual contract, and it's got to have some basic things in it. It has to have the scope of the work. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the whole problem on this case. You know, what's the scope of the work? Was it a shell, or was it a completed home, or is it, you say pave my driveway? Are we tearing out the old hot top and putting in new gravel? Are we leveling it out? You know, what are we actually doing here? If it's a roof job, what quality of shingles are we using? So on and so forth. So the scope of the work's got some detail. What the better contracts, if you're building a home, you'll actually have specification sheets of, you know, are you getting the, you know, back in the day when Sears existed, before it went into extinction, it must have been those radio waves, before Sears went extinct, they used to have good, better, and best. You know, are you getting the good appliances, the better appliances, or the best appliances? And you get that throughout. Are you getting a good quality home or the best quality home? And you should have some contractual understanding on that. And another important piece of this, there are three huge pieces to it. One is the scope of the work. Number two is the price. And a part of this is there are limits on the amount of down payment under the Home Construction Contract Act. They can only make you pony up a third up front to get started. Well, they need some money to go buy the materials and so forth, but they cannot, under the main law, they cannot insist that you pony up all the money up front, because we've heard about those scams where somebody comes in and says, yeah, we'll do the roof for $10,000. They get the $10,000 and off they go, and you never see them again. That's, my view, a criminal act. That's theft, theft of services or theft, by deception. So you have the price and how much is up front and whether there are going to be progress payments along the way. And then another important feature is, you want to sort of know when it's going to be done. You want a start date and a completion date, because frankly, we've all heard, it's a stereotype, and like all stereotypes, there's a certain amount of truth to it, but then there are exceptions. There are great contractors out there that adhere to the, the deadlines, but then there's, it's sort of the urban myth maybe where, you get the kitchen remodeling project going on and it starts in May and you might have it done by Thanksgiving. So these contract terms are really to try to hold people's feet to the fire. We've got a written agreement. We know what the price is. We know what the deadlines are. And these are the things that you need to have in your contract. I've mentioned the mechanics lien. There are also statutes in Maine assuring prompt payment for the contractors. And I should mention in Maine, we haven't talked about this too much either, but you need to do your due diligence on your contractors because in Maine, unlike the beauticians, there's a bill before the legislature to cut back the number of hours for beautician licensure or barbers licensure, attorney licensure. Everybody's licensed apparently except, you know, general contractors. General contractors are not licensed in the state of Maine. I've never understood why not, because they're, you know, handling your most important investment that most people make in their lifetime. So you really need to do your due diligence, ask for references, go look at their other work, check them out. And if you're dissatisfied with the work, there's provisions in these contracts for mediation or possibly arbitration. And if you don't pay the bill, if you're the homeowner that stiffened the contractor to go the other direction, if you're not paying the bill for the contractor or the subcontractor, then they have the right to file these mechanics liens, and they're, you know, very short time frames to do it. The contractors have 90 days to file the notice in the registry of deeds of the mechanics lien, and then they've got to bring the suit within 120 days. And we see a lot of this kind of litigation. I've handled lots of lien cases over the years and lots of defective construction cases, and people's lives are really sort of on hold for a while, especially if the homeowner's got some serious problems with the home. So these are pretty serious cases.
You know, I can imagine that a reputable business that maybe just crosses paths with someone who is disgruntled, dissatisfied on one little thing, this escalates and their reputation is tarnished forever. So these should be hopefully rare and settled quickly.
Oh, exactly. I've often used, you know, the paraphrase of the Robert Frost poem, good fences make good neighbors, or good contracts make for good relationships. And if you have, and I encourage people, it's not just to drive business in my door, it's to prevent your headaches. And the contractors of the world, they can develop their forms. They ought to have them right in their trucks or their, you know, utility trailers, so they can pull it out. And again, I'm not talking just the proposal form that you could get at your local print shop. You need the actual contract, and you could have blanks. You know, what's the scope of the work and what's the price and how much is going to be up front and what are the deadlines? And there are some other terms that are required by statute, but those are mostly boilerplate. You get those big things in there and you should be able to work along. The other thing that becomes a problem is change orders, because the homeowners can drive the contractors nuts. I'd like to have recessed lighting instead of this kind of lighting, or these types of fixtures, or this type of flooring. I want, you know, hardwood oak instead of whatever.
And that's what I was going to ask you. What happens if you decide to move the door from over there to over here, and I don't want the room that big, I want it smaller? That happens all the time.
Oh, yeah, or I want the deck for the hot tub, and oh, by the way, I want the hot tub too. The contractor should say, fine, we're willing to do that work, but here's a written change order. Would you please sign it? And again, it's a modification. A written change order is a written contractual modification.
How many guys do that?
The fair amount of contractors will do it.
I mean, because your wife comes in and said, boy, that window looks like hell. I don't want that window there. It should be over there. And so the contractor says, you told me before I got it in. So he moves it.
Yeah. So, well, before they move it, they should say, okay, I showed you that window. That was where you told me to put it. So if you want me to move it, happy to do it, but it's on your dime. You're going to pay for that. Now, if the builder goofed up, if the builder made a mistake.
I have heard some interesting stories.
Oh, I bet you have.
And so, maybe some of them have occurred in your own home.
Yeah.
Only once.
And we've seen these too. So if the builder says, homeowner says, no, I wanted the window over there, and the plans show that it was over there, and we want it back to where it was shown on the plans, then that may be on the builder. And sometimes they get into disputes over it, and it ends up in court, usually not over a window, but, I've had cases where, the builder didn't use the written change orders, and there were 25 requested changes over time, and the builder didn't get paid for those. We took it to court, and Oh, guess what? We had a string of email, 25 emails from the homeowner telling the builder what to do, and the builder won despite the absence of written contracts. So everybody get it in writing and you'll be much happier. It won't be the gloom and doom and the world won't end and everybody will be much happier.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.